welcome to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host Silky Harvey, every Monday at 1 p.m. CT. Welcome everybody to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 on this 22nd of November 2021. In the studio today, we have some exciting guests. We've got Esther de Charon de Saint-Germain, and she is a self-love advocate, business and branding strategist, and known by many as the Brave Branding and Business Queen. And on Fireside Stories, she is going to tell us how hard it is being yourself. And yes, it really is hard being yourself. So listen into her, because if you want to find out how you can be authentic, how you can be yourself, Esther is the girl to go to. Esther is the expert in her field. So from there on, we go on to the talking stick with Alisa Couture, who is a fashion author and fashion entrepreneur. And she feels that fashion is an opportunity to attain health and healing. And in her book, Healthy Fashion, she tunes into a modern lifestyle, fashion as a modern medicine, in a relatively new concept. And it's an advanced approach, so it's really intriguing. She has a lot of interesting things to tell the audience out there. And yes, fashion as a medicine, that is really something new. We should all listen to that, because she has some really, really interesting concepts. And from then on to the end of the show with the music spotlight, because no inner hippie should ever go without music. And today we have Jane Rose and the Dead End Boys, an alternative country rockabilly blues band from Nashville, Tennessee. So there is lots of good stuff coming up today. But without further ado, we go on to Fireside Stories with Esther de Charon de Saint-Germain after the commercial. Are you strong and free? Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author. Welcome everybody, we're on to the Fireside Story part of the Inner Hippie Club radio show. And in the studio with us today is Esther de Charon de Saint-Germain. And she is going to tell us a story about being yourself and how really hard that is. Take it away, Esther.
Okay, thank you. Well, so hi, I'm Esther. And I thought it would be a good idea to create a video with all my epic video mistakes, because I have all these videos on my phone and from 2016 till now. And so I created this video. It's more than 4 minutes of me messing up on video. And it's like epic, epic, what people would call epic fails, because there are lives in there where my camera is upside down. And so the interesting thing is that there is a real, there is improvement. It works. Showing up again and again and again really works. So it starts with me with really beautiful long hair, being completely frozen, you know, like a deer looking in the headlights, trying to be someone I thought I needed to be, like the perfect business person, and trying to say perfect things. And so what I realized while bringing all these videos together is that the moment, and I can see this again and again and again, the moment I stop being perfect, the moment I stop listening to myself all the time, I fly. And so the thing that our obstacle, and so this is not just my obstacle, I'm 100% certain this is everyone's obstacle, is trying to be perfect, trying to do the perfect thing. So I run a business in English and my native tongue is Dutch. So I hear myself saying things like thing and I say ding instead of thing. And so I hear myself making all those mistakes, and then I'm trying to look straight into the camera, and then I forget about that, and then I go into words. And so every time I run into my own judgmental asshole, sorry, mind, it stops. And I think this is the reason why I think this is important is because this is why a lot of women, and probably men as well, stop showing up. Because after the 54th take of you looking like a deer into the headlight of your own camera, it's not funny anymore. So it starts out being funny and then it's not funny anymore because it's exhausting. Sweaty armpits, the whole thing. And then what happens is that I start thinking, well, this is nothing. It's not going to work. Who will ever want to watch me? Or why do I look like that? Why am I not more perfect? Why can't I speak perfect English? What's wrong with me? And then it's really easy to just quit. And what I saw, and what actually in hindsight really moved me, is that I saw myself struggling through all those videos, all those takes, every time doing it again and again and again. And then suddenly seeing that the perfectionism starts to disappear, it dissolves, and that acceptance and self-acceptance become stronger than the self, than the perfectionism. And that it's really, I love seeing myself on camera. I love when I'm passionate about something and just like, words keep coming out. And that only happens, and I could see this really clearly, after I accepted myself, after I thought, okay, I'm not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. I can, hire a perfect backdrop, I can hire a studio, but the only thing that still matters is me being me. And does that make sense, right? So being yourself is really hard. And I think we're always being ourselves, but our judgmental mind and our judgmental, I actually should be more like her or him or like this or like some idea we have about ourselves, our judgmental mind is the obstacle between really being ourselves. Now, once we're being ourselves, once we're flying, once we're in flow, once we're just like, blah, words keep coming, and it's almost like they drop out of the sky, that is the moment when people decide whether or not they like us, or whether what you have to say is worth their time. So it's all about perfectionism, and it's all about letting go of perfectionism. And so I've been speaking about this so often, but I really, really clearly could see it right now this morning when I created the video. And so it's practice, 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 keep going, do not give up. And it's self-love and self-acceptance and just looking at yourself with soft and loving eyes and say, hey, you're actually pretty wonderful and you're not perfect, so who cares, but you're real and you are you. And so I was touched seeing that. I was touched to see this whole, it's a transformation, actually.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. I know that you actually run your own business, mm-hmm. where you specialize in teaching women all about self-love and how to show up mm-hmm. with those kind and loving eyes that you just spoke about. So tell us more about your business.
So I'm a self-love advocate and a business and brand strategist. And I struggled, I really, really, really struggled with self-love because I used to be the queen of self-hate for at least till I was 38 or so. I was really like, I was so good at self-hate and self-doubt and self whatever negative you can focus on. And so it took me a very long time to really love myself. And I realized that it's almost like a muscle, and it's really easy for it's being an entrepreneur and just follow the guidance. It's like, do this, go there, push that button, open that door. It's all easy. The thing that makes it really hard is our judgmental mind and the fact that it's really difficult to feel like you are enough, to feel that you are lovable, to feel that who you are is good and it's just okay. So what I do is I combine self-love and branding and marketing. And I run the membership, Self-Love Success Club, for amazing self-lovepreneurs. And so we, my clients and I, are growing a business and a brand that is founded on self-love. So it's always love yourself, which is an ongoing work. Always love yourself, and then have all the tactics and all the go here, do there, do this, open the door, you know, like the action-taking stuff. And so we mix that, and that's how they grow their business. Because it's when you launch, for instance, there is a lot of pressure on you because you, so it's launching in itself is not difficult. It's just do something and then open the card, then close the card and then sell. That's it. It's not more complicated than that. However, what happens is that just let's say it's an ordinary launch. And at the launch, start with you giving away something. So it's, let's say you, it's a book writing. It's a book writing program. And it's all about helping people in the launch. You help people to come up with the title of their book. Now, everything is amazing and it's for free and people love it and you love it and it feels so good. And then you tell people, okay, so this was for free and now I'm going to sell you something. And then suddenly everything changes because there are a lot of people who don't want to buy anything, they just want to get something. And then there is a small group of people who loves to buy from you, but they need to know what it is that you're doing. Now, these are all little triggers that make you go like, oh, what I have to sell is not worth it. They will never going to pay me for it. I think they hate me. They're all quiet. I'm doing it all wrong. Why would they even buy from me? I might just drop out and stop. I'm going to hide. I'm not going to show up. And so those weeks between you telling people that you have something to, that they can buy something from you and close the cart, those 7 or 14 or 3 or whatever days can be hell. And so if you're not prepared to go all in on the self-love and the self-acceptance in those weak, it suffocates people. It's where they drop out because then nothing happens and they send out one email and then a second email and then someone says, well, you're sending out a lot of emails, and then you feel horrible because, oh, what might they think? So all these triggers are all little, they're challenges to our self-love. So when your self-love is not really sturdy and strong, it's gone and you're left alone in a puddle of self-loathing and nobody likes me and I will never make it. And you might think this is exaggerated, but this is what happens to everyone. So even very, very advanced people in business, they can go crazy in those open card weeks, which is one of the things that make launching so difficult. So how did I get that? Oh, to tell about why self love and self acceptance and self compassion and all the good self thingies are truly, truly important when you are an entrepreneur. Basically, all the time, because we are being triggered all the time. And then we all the time think there is something wrong with me. There is nothing wrong with you. It's just life. But we don't have a really, we should get self-love at school. Self-love, self-acceptance, self-compassion, self-confidence, it should be taught in every school. Why don't they teach this?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I can identify with so many things you said there. It's really hard, especially when you're an entrepreneur in the online world. I mean, I experienced that myself. I did brick and mortar business for many years, and then changing to the online world, everything was different in an instance. And yeah, it does make you wonder about yourself and question yourself, especially when those typical negative comments come in that everybody gets on social media. Yeah, it can be a very hard thing. And that's why I think what you're doing is very important. So yeah. Thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome. By the way, those negative comments, you need to get them coming. Do not remove them. I mean, you can hide them, but do not delete them. And the reason is because the algorithm wants comments. So if people are and it doesn't care whether it's a good comment or a negative comment. So the more whatever it is that people think they need to say, the better, because the algorithm will show your post to more people.
Yes, definitely. Our time is almost up. So it was a pleasure having you in the studio today and listening to your story. And thank you so much for coming, Esther.
It was wonderful to be here. And thank you for making me double think the whole transformation story. That's really great.
You're very welcome. For anybody who wants to get in touch with Esther, all her details and clickable links will be on the show page, so you can just scroll down and look her up and get in touch with her.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silke Harvey.
Are you strong and free? Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author. We are now coming on to the talking stick section of the Inner Hippie Club radio show. And I welcome in the studio today, Alisa Couture. So welcome to the studio, Alisa. Let's give you the talking stick.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Alisa, and I have a company called Healthy Fashion Campaign. And I am a fashion author and fashion entrepreneur. And I'm also an energy healer, and I dabble into the metaphysics work with planetary healing. So that actually kind of is a part of my work with healthy fashion. I incorporate how we can heal the planet with fashion and actually use fashion to heal the planet. It's very an interesting concept and topics that I like to talk about. And it is, I am very heavily researched on eco and sustainable fashion. However, there's not a lot of talk about fashion for health. So a lot of these topics that I will be speaking about is sort of unusual to even the fashion industry, the mainstream fashion industry, or the alternative fashion industry. But what I kind of wanted to speak to you guys about is tell you my story on how fashion has been healing me and how I use fashion to heal my body and my mind and my soul. And before, I actually didn't even really get into like holistic fashion. I was still wearing clothes that were pinching and poking and pulling and just struggling. I was almost like having a fight with my own garments. And I realized as part of my work that there's ways where we can actually build a wardrobe that can function as a healing modality, a tool, a way of frequency, energy frequency, and a force in our own lives that can really make us feel more enlightened. And some of what I have really kind of embarked in is I have researched fashion psychology, and part of that is the archetypes, the fashion archetypes, and versus the stereotypes. So you know about the, you know, we call everyone like different types of stereotypical names, like you know, the rock star or the jock. So instead of calling seeing someone's fashion as being like a jock, like you're a jock because you're wearing, instead we can call him an adventurer. We can call him a hero, because that's the archetype of the jock. So what we're doing is we're kind of advancing our perception of how we perceive people's way of dress. And that's just one piece. We also have, and this is for your inner soul and your inner being, because there's a spiritual awakening happening on this planet. There is a new dimension of healing happening. And, you know, even I would say that it is a new concept to bring our fashion into a realm of making it a source of medicine. Medicine, we could wear the plants, the sacred plant medicine. We could do the ergonomic design. We can dress and design ergonomically for efficiency, for comfort, for pure, like, I mean, talking pure comfort, meaning it's when you wear it, you know, you don't feel it, you don't fuss with it. And a lot of garments out there, I personally have found that it is hard to find non-fussy clothes. So that's why I wear a lot of athleisure, because it's just super comfortable and it's ergonomic and it's easy. But all types of clothes matter. All types of style genres matter. And this is also in part of these ideas of universal fashion that we breathe into this world, into this community, and globally. And that is, we all kind of dress the different types of style genres. We all incorporate, you know, the bohemian, we incorporate the modern, and we incorporate the minimal. When we incorporate all of these style genres within, it doesn't matter what we wear, we are actually taking part of a holistic remedy. We're actually creating actually more intellectualism for ourselves, because fashion is not just an art, it is a form of intellectual communication. So there's this fashion language that I have tried to portray in the concepts of the book and in my campaign. And It's not new. These are ancient remedies. A lot of the work that I speak of is not new, but it's news, because we really want to bring about fashion for the mental body, fashion for the physical body, fashion for the energy body, fashion for the spiritual body. And I have created in my book, and I'm not trying to keep talking about my book, but I've created these concepts that I feature fashion for the mind, I feature fashion for the body. And when we take into consideration that we are a multidimensional being, and we have to actually use fashion in a multidimensional way, and we all kind of already do. We're already activating health in our fashion. We all use our fashion, whether conscious or not. It is already a tool. But when we actually are more conscious of it and become more understanding of it, then that we're going to actually be able to use it, activate it, and use it like it's a tool and a modality.
I'm really, really fascinated and intrigued by the concept of using the clothing for, or like healing the energy body, because I'm a Reiki master myself and I work a lot with the chakras. And when you teach people how to like balance their chakras, it's always about wear clothing in the color of the chakra to activate it. And that it also ties in with all the modalities of like color therapy. And there's so much out there that already works with colors and energy. So it really ties in with your clothing as well. It makes sense to me anyway. So let's talk a bit more about that, the energy side of things, and how the clothing can actually help with balancing your energies.
Yes, that's perfect. And that's exactly what I talk about with, you know, the colors and the aura. I don't talk about it too much, but that's a very interesting aspect. Wearing colors for your aura. And a lot of the energy clearing that we can do in terms of energy, laundering is a simple and very, very profound way that we can take the excess energies and residual negative toxins off the body. So what we're constantly doing is when we wear, most specifically when we wear plants, but when we wear the fabrics, all of these emotional energies are being absorbed into our fabrics. And when we launder them, we are pretty much laundering away those emotions. We're clearing them. So it's like a total balancing and way to, and you can use sea salt. You can actually, you don't even have to launder them. You can spray your clothing with essential oils or crystal essences. I know there's the gem elixirs. That would be a nice one. You can just spray it with water and it clears and enhances the clothing. But there's so much that we can talk about how energy in clothing affects the body. And one being, I guess we can talk about something that is really important to me is I have researched the angels, the ascended masters, some of the more divine realm beings, the fairy realms, and their clothing, and even the monks and the swamis and the priests and the priestesses, they wear the holy robe. And when you are kind of in the presence of a robe, it's not even just the person. When you're in presence of a robe, it's like a pure blessing. So our clothing is actually a blessing to others when they see them. It's a prayer. And our clothing can actually enhance a divine presence within. It can also seal and lock in the light force. I had done some research and found out that in Europe and ancient times, what they did was they designed their clothing to mimic their holy temples, the architecture of their holy temples, because the holy temple for them was the idea that it held the light force within. So when they designed their clothes, and when it was a form of protection, it was like an actual architectural design of a holy church, and they felt that it would lock and seal in their light force and their spirit. You know, we're always doing the soul retrieval and the spirit retrieval. And what we can do is with our clothes, we can lock it in. We can use the clothing as a form of protection, as a form of armor. And I just think that's really beautiful. And it's also, it's a protecting our energy body in every form, in every way. And I just find that to be phenomenal. And that's what I'm actually going to be talking about a little bit in my second book more so. I'm going to do some there will be a second book, but with this first book, I'm just so excited about it, and I'm very glad that you're interested in it. I know with your inner hippie club, it totally resonates with your inner hippie club, because I am definitely, I have an inner hippie within me. There's just no question. I want to give people fashion that harnesses that inner hippie. I want to give people ideas of how we can dress in our wardrobe and be able to cultivate that youthfulness, like you have said, the youthfulness and, you know, the inner teenager, that presence, because that is like the holy presence when we're young and we have our light, all of our light force contained. And then as we grow older, we kind of lose our light force a little bit. So I believe with the Inner Hippie Club and your involvement, and it is a very important topic. It's an important aspect of life that we all have to really engage in and work with.
Well, thank you very much. And I totally agree that clothing is very important in releasing your inner hippie, because I always find that as we grow older and get more mature or grown up or whatever you want to call it, we tend to get more sensible or start worrying about what people think or go with fashion trends. And we tend to buy clothes and put them on only because everybody else does. You know, there are so many trends. And most of the time when I'm talking to my clients in the Inner Hippie Club, they don't necessarily feel comfortable in their clothes. They put it on because they work in corporate or they're expected to be wearing a suit. But they probably would be far happier in jeans and a t-shirt, for example. So I always tell my clients that it's really important to just wear what you want, even if it's totally against the fashion, if it breaks every trend, if other people think your color choices are horrible and horrendous, if the patterns don't match, it doesn't matter, because if you are really happy and like comfortable in those clothes and it lights you up from the inside, and you look at your clothes and you think, oh, I love these patterns, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's perfect. I agree with you 100%. That's everything you said is really true to actually my ideas and vision. I feel like it's very important as a fashion intuitive, I like to call myself, that we embrace the clothing that we want and that we need. And, you know, if it's not comfortable, like say those office suits that don't have any stretch, and if it's not comfortable, it's almost like a sacrifice. And I believe on this planet, we have done a lot of sacrificing in the name of fashion. And I think where we're headed in these modern times is we want those jeans and t-shirts. We want those comfortable clothes that give to us that, you know, we can make fashion do the work for us. And this new approach is it new? Well, I mean, technically, and it's not very common when I talk about, you know, say fabrics with herbal dyes that actually, or treatments, fabrics with aloe vera treatments and different types of herbs. And when these fabrics are placed on our body, they actually seep into the bloodstream, and we're getting the curative properties of these medicinal herbal fabrics, and just as well as some of the more cellulose fabrics like rami, hemp, linen, tencel, pina, cattails, hemp. all of these different plants are going to become more and more popular because right now we're only using cotton and linen predominantly, and that's really a 1% market in the textile industry. About 90% of the textiles right now is polyester. And you know about it. Like, it's a non-renewable resource. It's the pH is not perfect for a body. I still wear a polyester coat. It keeps me warm. I'm not against polyester. I still wear it. But I say, as the fashion evolves, we're going to be getting into a more heavily involved plant-based textile industry. And it's because plants just do so much for us in a medicinal way, in a therapeutic way. We just need plants. And when we go out into the wilderness, we have this instant meditational relaxation feeling. And when we actually dress into these plants, we're actually getting that feeling, whether or not it's recognized.
And that brings me actually to another question. You said about polyester being non-renewable, and also the fashion industry has got a very heavy impact on the environment, especially the industry as it is now. I mean, there are many negatives to it in a way. Like, for example, one cotton shirt pollutes so many gallons of water, it's scary. You know, you said nearly all of the clothing that are made from plants are cotton or linen, so that promotes monocultures, which is not good at all for the environment. And then we have all these plastic-based textiles that are definitely not good for the planet. So where do you see this whole thing going? How can we change the industry maybe to make sure it's all getting more sustainable, and that the whole way we dress doesn't necessarily impact so much on the planet?
So this is a very important question, and I'm very glad you asked. So right now we are dealing with cotton and linen, and we love plants. And personally, I still would promote cotton over polyester any day. There's ways around where they're doing a dryless treatment and stuff, but for they can reuse water. There's ways to reuse water, but anyway, the scariest part is that there's a lot of GMO. 90% cotton is GMO, so that's kind of a bummer. I mean, it's not fun. So I'm thinking, let's make this paradise on planet Earth with cultivating multiple types of plants, because back in history, South America would use 650 different types of plants for textile use. So this is actually going to be the key, because what we can do is we can stir the economy, the social economy, the financial economy. We can stir the ecologics on planet Earth by using aquatics. We have aquatic plants like water hyacinth stem, lotus stem. And we have to make the textile machinery though to make this go mass production. To make it mass produced. But we can use, okay, so there's the aquatic plants, then there's the wild weeds, the invasive weeds we can use and turn into textiles. And there's studies out there of specific wild weeds like cattails, for instance, and milkweed. They're perfect alternative down, because the fluff inside cattails and milkweed, the fluff, that can be a perfect use for an alternative down if we don't want to use polyfill or feathers. So we have the seaweed plants. There's studies and tests being done for seaweed plants. So we want to usher in lots of plants. I know there's kapok is a nice alternative down plant as well. And then we have rami, we have tensil, we have Pina. We have all sorts, all linen, all sorts of different types of plant. And I actually talked in my book, I have a glossary of 36 different types of plants, and I described each one and how they were either used in the past, if they're used in the present, and if they're being studied and tested for the future. These types of plants, I believe using multiple types of plants versus two plants is going to be able to reduce and remove the excess polyester use, because we really don't have any other way. And there's lots of, like, lyocell. We can do a tensile lyocell. We don't have to, it doesn't have to be extremely all, like, labor produced. We can make textile machinery, and it's being done. For instance, a scientist took a corn stalk, took the corn, the leaf off of the corn, and he developed a machine to take the leaves off the corn and use the leaf as a textile, as a new fabric.
Wow.
Not the actual corn kernels, mm-hmm. because the corn kernels is being done, but I don't really believe in GO. The corn kernel fabric is the best to wear topically, because it's very heavily condensed, like a sugar. But the leaf that covers it is a great idea as a way to turn it into textiles. So this is just that's just one idea. So we can build the textile machinery. We can use the hundreds of different options out there. I mean, they're using rosebush stems now. They're taking the rosebush stem, and it's a nice silky lustrous fabric. Aloe vera. Wow. Yep, they're using aloe vera, the leaf of the aloe vera, and that's also a nice silky lustrous tactility to the fabric. But it's really exciting. I believe it's an exciting thing, and it's something that's going to be the future. I can say it, but it's going to happen with or without me. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, it's such a fascinating topic. And sadly, we're coming to the end of the slot already. I could talk all evening about this. It really is fascinating. But thank you so much for being in the studio today. And before you go, tell our listeners where they can find you online.
And thank you again for having me. And you can go ahead and find me at hfcampaign.com. That's H as in healthy, F as in fashion, campaign.com. I look forward to seeing y'all. And thank you so much, Silky, for having me.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. And for all the listeners out there, all the details of Alyssa are also going to be on the show page, and there'll be clickable links, so it will be easy for you to look her up.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silky Harvey.
Are you strong and free? Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com and become a strong and free best-selling author.
Well, we're on to the music spotlight. And today we have Jane Rose and the Dead End Boys. They're an alternative country rockabilly blues band hailing from Nashville, Tennessee. And fronted by the powerhouse vocals of Jane Rose and backed by the rhythmic styling of some of Nashville's finest musicians, you will hear them coming from a state away. The band was founded in 2010, stemming from Jane's lifelong love affair with the culture and styles of these genres. They tour the country extensively and are featured at many hot rod car shows all year round. Make sure to take notice, this band is a force to be reckoned with.
I'm holding on to you like a dog with a bone, like a little child holds an ice cream cone. Not for nothing would I ever let you go. Not for all the gold in Fort Knox, not for all the diamonds in the Queen's jewel box. Not for nothing would I ever let you go. Like Aladdin guards his magic lamp, the boxer holds the title champ. Not for nothing would I ever let you go.
Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author.
That was Jane Rose and the Dead End Boys with Not For Nothing. I just love that track. And if you want to find out more about this great rockabilly alternative country band, you can find them online on Facebook. They have their own Facebook group. You can also find them on their own page, Jane Rose and the Dead End Boys on Facebook, and you can go to www.janerosemusic.com. But all those details will be on the show page. There'll be clickable links. So if you want to find out more about this great band, just look them up online. And this is already the end of the show almost. My goodness, as usual, that went fast. And we are closing with the inner hippie tip. Because to be an inner hippie, it takes practice, right? So every day we have to do a little bit to remind ourselves how to be an inner hippie. Today, I want to encourage you to start creating. Creating is a beautiful process. It gets your creativity going. It is an act of mindfulness. Whilst you're creating, you are not thinking about any of the other clutter in your mind, what I always call the chattering monkey, because you're focusing on what you're doing. You're most likely totally engaged with it, because when you're creating, you're doing something that you're passionate about. So it's a perfect way of clearing the mind and also getting your creativity out there. So go out there and create a piece of art, poetry or writing. Just experiment and find out what form of creative expression is the right one for you. And then sit down for at least 10 minutes each and every day and start creating your art. It doesn't matter if you're any good at it. You're not trying to become the next Picasso or Hemingway. You do this purely for your own enjoyment. It does not matter what other people think. You don't even have to show it to other people. You just want to do something that you totally enjoy. And then you focus your mind on it. You will naturally become mindful whilst you're creating this art, because there is no way you can think of anything else when you're in that creative thinking process. So go out there, do something, write a poem, just do a drawing or a painting, maybe write a song. And you never know, you might even discover a brand new talent you never knew you had. That is the very essence of being an inner hippie, of doing the things you love, doing them because you fancy doing them, and never mind what other people think about it. So with that, have a beautiful day. And just before I go, I would like to remind you once again, the launch of Strong and Free, my beautiful multi-author book, is coming up very shortly on 17th of December. And you can still become an author. There are still a few last minute author spots left, and there will be plenty of help and advice to get your story in there still before the year is out. So if you want to be a best-selling author, just get in touch with me. All the details are on the page. You can just send me a message. I'm still looking for a handful of authors. There's still a little space left in the book. So I'd love to hear from you if you have a story about being strong and free and how you broke up with society's expectations. And of course, if you want to read this amazing book, this book with lots of stories of amazing women, and each woman has managed to overcome obstacles and to be strong and free, it will be an amazing read. So it'll be out there on the 17th of December, but I'll be telling you more about it as the weeks go on and it gets nearer. And I'd love to see you at the book launch. It will be released on Amazon, on Kindle initially, and then later there will be a paperback. So I'm really, really excited about it already. So have a lovely day. Go out there, create, be an inner hippie, and see you next week. Monday, same time on BBS Radio Station 1.
Thank you for listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Sophie Harvey. See you again next week, same place, same time, Mondays at 1 p.m. CT.